Hey guys, this is Russ, and this is The Overlook. Today we're going to get into the disappearance of LaShaya Stein. LaShaya is an African-American female missing from Aurora, Colorado. She was an honor student at George Washington High School at the time of her disappearance. She is described as smart, funny, and full of ambition. She wanted to become a nurse and even secured an internship at the University of Colorado Hospital before she went missing. Femi also mentions that LaShaya was very sheltered and could possibly be described as naive. Her mother fears she may be easily manipulated due to her sheltering. The last day anyone saw LaShaya was on July 15, 2016. She went to her room and was presumed to be sleeping. Her brother went to wake her up the following morning, but she was not there. Family was concerned because she had a big job interview that morning. Her family went looking for her around the neighborhood but could not find her. Her mother immediately called for the police. Now, mom states the police initially treated the case as a runaway case and didn't really immediately come to the home or anything. Family tried to look up her whereabouts by tracking down her phone, but they could only track it up to a certain point as her phone was turned off. Family knew this was not a runaway case, and they began canvassing the neighborhoods and sharing news on social media before the police got involved. And for about a week, the family reports that the police did not do anything. It was not until a local police chief had came back from vacation and he noticed that things in this case did not feel right. Eventually, the police made their way to the family's home and they noticed her window was open and her mother immediately thought she left home to go meet somebody. Outside her window, there was a fire pot turned upside down and it was right under the window, seemingly indicating that whatever LaShaya was planning to do, she also planned to return and possibly use that flower pot to step on as a way of getting back in the house through her window. Now, the police chief held a press conference where he made it known that they actually found a video of LaShaya walking on surveillance at 2:23 a.m. In the video, she can be seen walking by a bus stop around the 1600 block of North Peoria Street. LaShaya Stein is still missing and her case remains unsolved. Now, police were really alarmed after they saw the surveillance footage of LaShaya. It is implied that there's actually more to the video than the public has seen, or possibly another video. However, for investigation purposes, police have not revealed what details are in that video to the public. Her ex-boyfriend and her friends were questioned for any information that could possibly lead to the discovery of LaShaya, but nothing really came of it. Her mother initially thought LaShaya was talking to her ex-boyfriend and he was the person she was initially going to meet. But police clear him and they were able to go through his phone and find that there was no conversation between LaShaya and this boy for at least a week prior to her disappearance. The police, they knocked on doors, they searched park areas, they checked businesses, and of course we have surveillance. They even brought in help in search and rescue from neighboring counties. The police eventually requested the help of the FBI, and the FBI is actually still actively working on this case as well. Now, a little over a week after LaShaya disappeared, her mother spoke with the CBS Denver News 4, and her mother is quoted as saying, "I'm scared for your safety, baby girl. You got to call mommy." Her mother explained that she was shocked that her daughter would even get up and go anywhere that late. Her mother, Sabrina Jones, continues to say, "She is a good girl. She never gave me any trouble. She's never given me any reason to believe she would go walking off somewhere." She continues, "My daughter LaShaya, I never would have thought she would have done something like this. I'm actually pretty shocked." See, the thing is, LaShaya has no history of running away. Now, of course, no one, including the police, actually believe this is a runaway case now. LaShaya had a lovely home life, she did well in school, and then let's not forget, she left her home without any extra clothes, wallet, phone charger, anything that most people who run away would take. Now, over the years, there has been reported sightings of LaShaya. People said that she was forced into prostitution and was being drugged. And it's not like this was one or two tips that came in saying this. It seems like most of the tips that came in pretty much circled around this scenario, that she was being trafficked and that she was being kept from running away because she was drugged up. The area she has been reported seeing is Colfax Avenue, which is in this area actually comes up quite a lot. And apparently this area is known for prostitution, and there's a lot of motels in this area. It seems like this particular street, this particular area, comes up in a lot of different tips. She was also reportedly seen in Kansas, Missouri, New Mexico, and Arizona. Now, a lot of the tips seem to indicate that there is one particular man that is known for pimping young girls out. The problem is, people are too scared to come forth with any real evidence or any real cooperation with the police when it comes to this particular individual. And again, this man is pointed out in several tips, but no one wants to cooperate. And for a while, tips were coming in hard and steady. But at one point, it seems like for about a 4-month period, tips just seemed like they stopped. Now, lucky they picked back up again, and I'm sure some of it has to do with the fact that the police and LaShea's mother has kept her case active. Every year since she has been missing, I have been able to find multiple articles in that year, keeping her name in the public, keeping her case visible. The areas she was reportedly seen, you know, many of those areas were in other states. And LaShea's mother actually states that the police believe it was a possibility she was taken out of state. Now, a local pimp actually agreed to help LaShea's family. It seems like at one point he actually gave them the name of who this guy is that everybody keeps seeming to say, yeah, he has her. But he wasn't actually really sure exactly what the name was. It was like he kind of gave him Richard. I'm just using the name Rick as an example. But it's like he had a name, but he wasn't sure what the variation was. Now, the police could not verify if they looked up the names they got, and they could not find anyone with that name or nickname in their system. And this pimp actually ended up calling the family one day and said, hey, she is at this hotel right now. She's in room 101. And of course, the family, they called the police. The police came, they searched the motel, and they did not find her there. However, they did find lots of young women's clothing in that room. Now, afterwards, someone actually came forward, someone that was in that area, and told the family that they had actually just missed traffickers. They stated about 5 minutes before the police came, some men were in that room and they took a young woman out of that room and put her into a dark blue vehicle. And again, this was just about 5 minutes before the police came. Now, it is unknown how these individuals would have known to move this young lady. Even if it wasn't LaShea, that's kind of odd that there's these men, there seems to be only one girl, and 5 minutes before police come, they're out the room leaving lots of clothes. Now, when you look around the internet and you try to look more into this, you'll see lots of comments on videos, on articles where people allege that they think there is a mole possibly in the police department, because they're saying, you know, how would they be able to know that? How would they have known someone was looking for them or going to search that room? And while that is a possibility, and that would not be unheard of, let's be honest, we also have to keep in mind, traffickers tend to be very observant people. I wouldn't be surprised if they picked up on the fact that people were acting kind of weird. People were really paying attention to the room that they were in. Now, it could have just been sheer luck. Again, this is still in the same city that LaShea disappeared from, where her family lives. So I would not be surprised if it was just a part of their routine to constantly get up and move her, keep her in different rooms, if these are the traffickers of LaShea at all. Eventually later, we're starting to get tips coming in frequently. They're coming in a consistent flow, and all of them seem to be very consistent with the trafficking theory. Eventually, there becomes a tip from a woman who was talking to her boyfriend when he just happens to mention that LaShea, yeah, she was being trafficked and she got moved to Kansas. Now, this young woman immediately went to tell LaShea's mother. However, the boyfriend straight up refused to cooperate due to his gang ties. Maybe the people involved in LaShea's disappearance were part of his gang, or it could just be a simple street cred thing of not wanting to be seen as a snitch. But let's also keep in mind that, again, multiple tips that came forth saying that it was one particular guy, and all of these tipsters was absolutely terrified to come forward and actually work with the police any more than letting them know, hey, it's this person, can't offer any more details, and that's it. So it's a possibility that this guy also was terrified to come forth. I mean, from the articles I've read, it seems like whoever this alleged man is, he has a whole community living in fear of him. In 2017, the Vanish podcast, you hear the mom speaking to them, and she talks about how there was also a young woman who escaped to a program that specifically caters to survivors of sex trafficking. Now, this young woman told the program that she was actually trafficked with LaShea, and this young lady included the name of the man that several other tipsters were mentioning. This young lady said that LaShea was alive and she wanted to come home, but she was terrified to run with her. So the young woman, she had to make a choice, and she chose to escape and left LaShea there. And it's tips like that that gives family hope that maybe she's still out there and she's still alive. But of course, her family is worried about what she's going through if she's still alive. Now, in that same podcast, her mother mentioned how there was also young girls that came forward with pictures of LaShea, letting her know that they knew LaShea. And these were young girls she had never met. These were girls she was unaware LaShea even knew. And they had pictures of them with LaShea, and also pictures with LaShea with men, and these were grown men. Now, it doesn't sound like this was in any type of compromising position or anything like that, but it just seemed like it was this group of people that her mother had no idea about. And I want to take a moment to discuss this because, one, it's not uncommon for teens to keep a part of their lifestyle hidden from their parents, even parents that have great relationship with their children. And I'm putting this all out there because I feel like a lot of times as parents, we like to say things like, I know my child. And we think our children aren't capable of certain things or hanging out with certain people, when unfortunately they can be. Teenagers often want a part of their lives private, especially teenage girls. I mean, heck, look, I'm in my 30s and there's some things that I don't tell my parents out of simply wanting to keep some of my life to myself. So I get it. However, it's really important that we have conversations with teen girls, young adults, and people in general, that you need to always have at least one or two people in your life who knows who you spend time with and where you normally go when you're leaving your home. There should always be one or two people in your life that knows these people's real names, what they look like, how you met, where you usually hang out with them. Even if you don't feel like it's safe telling your family, there should be one person in your life that you feel safe telling this information to. And may I just highly suggest that that person not be a significant other. And let me be clear, I'm not advocating against telling your partner things. But as we know, the statistics on partners being involved in a disappearance or murder of their partner, it's kind of up there and high. So just to keep it on the safe side, even if you tell your spouse, also have somebody else that's more of a neutral party that knows this information that you feel you can trust to come forward and let family or police know if anything ever happens to you. And it seems morbid to have those conversations and to bring it up. And it feels like, yeah, look, that's never going to happen to me. I don't really need to have those convos. I'm just listening to the podcast because it's entertaining. But hear me out. Those families also did not think this would ever happen to them. And I've covered a lot of stories where people go missing. And there's always one or two people in their life that says, yeah, and they were dating someone, but I don't really know. They didn't really give us a lot of info. You know, they will go on dates, but none of us really knew this person's name. None of us really remember what this guy looks like or what this female looks like. And things like that usually help major cases. Things like that, and also having a location tracker and turning on your location tracker on your phone. Those of you who have iPhones, you can share your location with one person or multiple people. So I can start sharing today and I can keep it on for 5 years and my best friend will still have access to me. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, there's a thing that people can kidnap you or force you to go with them against your will, and they can turn off your phone and then, well, there we go. However, it will at least give some indication until that point of where you were, what towers your phone was speaking off of. Another reason why I want to bring this up is because, look, while we hear stories about serial killers and strangers attacking at random, truth is, most people are harmed by individuals they know. And honestly, it's kind of the same with trafficking. Though it might not be people they know very well. The movie version of trafficking, where a girl is walking down the street and then they're thrown into a car by complete and total strangers, really isn't the common tactic in trafficking, especially when it comes to trafficking in America. Now, yes, there are some girls who are kidnapped at random and they're trafficked across the country or still in their hometown. However, a more common strategy is a pimp uses a young female to befriend other young girls. They make sure this female looks nice, hair done, nails done, things such as that. And she befriends these young women and she tells them, like, hey, you know, look, I know a way to make money. You do not have to work at McDonald's. You do not have to make $7.75 an hour. You know, I could put you on. There's also a thing where they send these girls to befriend a group of young women and they simply just lure the girls to their pimp, invite them over, invite them to a party, or get to really know a particular young woman as they introduce them to drugs and then get them hooked on drugs. Create an environment where it feels like you have to turn a prostitute to support your habit, or this person is your supplier and you got to do what they say to support your habit. Now, the biggest trick that I've seen in the game is that girls actually meet the guy. The guy is usually an older guy because usually these girls are young. They're teenagers. They're like 12, 14, 15, 16. And usually the man is like in their 20s, maybe 30s. And these men, they start courting these young girls and they start treating them in a way that they've probably never been treated before, at least not in the romantic sense. These men, sometimes they take them shopping. Sometimes they give them money for their hair and their nails. Essentially, they just love bond them. They use the word love very quickly and they make these young girls feel loved and safe. And of course, they flip the switch on them. They flip the switch on them once they're able to lure them away for family and friends. And that's when we start seeing trafficking come into the picture. Now, sometimes it's smooth. It's as smooth as creating an illusion of them being short on money and needing a girl to help them out, and prostitution is suggested. It's brought up more and more as the man starts withdrawing their love and guilt tripping the young girl. And usually, again, these young girls have no experience with being truly emotionally manipulated. Gaslighted in romantic situations. And a part of that is why they are the target. They are usually a lot more naive and they can be easily molded. All they remember is that he loved her. And there was a period in time where it really felt like he loved her. And when it felt like he loved her, that love felt good. And he's saying, look, all I have to do is this one thing, and he will give me back that love. I will start receiving that type of love from him again. Now, of course, violence is often introduced, sometimes after the fact, sometimes as a way to coerce the girl into prostitution. And once violence is introduced, it's usually no longer a choice of if the girl wants to do this or not. Now, when it comes to victims of sex trafficking, especially here in America, traffickers usually look for naive young girls coming from broken homes. Maybe young girls who had to pretty much raise themselves. The parents may have a drug problem. Parents may work so much that they don't really know what the children are doing or where they are. Young girls who really just want to be loved. They might not have had a man figure in their life loving them and showing them the attention that they crave. And a lot of times these young girls don't know what healthy love looks like, what romantic love looks like. And these are usually the prime targets. Now, with Lashaya, she does not seem to fit this category. Now, Fami did say she is naive, and most girls her age are, but it seems like she was a little bit more than other girls her age because she was sheltered. But it seems like she came from a good home and she was very smart and she was very ambitious. So she had a lot of things going for her. But we also have to keep in mind, in that Vanish podcast, we find out that she was associating with some people family knew nothing about. So there's a chance that the perpetrator had no real indication of what LaShea's real family home was like. We have to keep in mind, there is no real concrete evidence that we the public know that indicates what happened to LaShea. Now, the trafficking theory is the biggest theory you're going to hear about. It's pretty much the only theory you're going to hear about. It's going to be found all over the net. Anywhere you find her name, that's what's going to be brought up. But again, this is a theory. We don't have 100% evidence that this happened. So yes, trafficking is pretty much the only theory you're going to come across. Police actually believe this theory as well. This is what they believe happened. So when I do social media searches, again, that's the only thing I'm seeing. That's the only thing people are really talking about. And this is not odd to me. Again, we have all these tips pointing to a very particular person. We have all these tips saying, no, she's being trafficked. I've seen her at motels in different areas. It's just really unfortunate that the people who are possibly trafficking her seem to have some type of hold on this community where everyone seems to be in fear of them. Now, one suggestion you will find online is commenters on things like Facebook posts suggesting that law enforcement or family do a really good search on like Craigslist or Backpage. These are frequent places that people advertise sex for sale. And I really think law enforcement probably already did this. Law enforcement has been really, really great in this case. Again, you'll see updates from law enforcement, whether it's the FBI or local police, you'll see updates from them pretty much every year since she's been missing. Mom has even said she has a good working relationship with them and that they keep her updated. She knows they're actively working on this case. So I believe they probably already did this because it's just one of the first things people do when trafficking is involved. Everybody kind of knows that Backpage, Craigslist, websites like this is where it's advertised. A lot of programs that help victims of trafficking, they'll educate, they'll go to police stations and they'll go to different conferences and so forth in the community. And this is one of the things they typically say. I actually interned in grad school at an organization that was specifically for survivors of sexual exploitation. And again, this is one of the things the director pretty much said almost immediately anytime we had a community event. So again, I believe the police already did this. This is something that's already known. And for all we know, they have evidence from that. And that may be why they're pushing the trafficking theory. But we don't know because they have been kind of hush-hush on things they find. And it seems to me that it is for good reason in this case, because we have a community where it seems that she was kept in that community at least for a while, which means her traffickers are in that community. And letting too much information out could put her at risk for being harmed. So it makes sense to me that the police are kind of like, you know, we're going to keep this to ourselves until we have something concrete or we can make actual moves. Now, of course, I'm going to post pictures of LaShea on my Instagram, on the blog. But one thing I want you guys to keep in mind is that many tipsters have said she lost a lot of weight. She may be going by a different name, and usually people report seeing her in some type of wig. Her family, they still talk to news crews. You can find interviews as recent as 2020. And of course, they're still working with the police, but not really doing events anymore. One of the things that kind of broke my heart is in one article, her mother described that she used to do events. She used to do fundraisers, but slowly over time, people stopped caring. Less and less people started showing up. It's even quoted in a DenverPulse.com article that the mom said, even friends stopped showing up to these events, and that really hurt her. Now, the family, they push on, and they are doing a great job as well of keeping LaShea's name in the news. However, almost everything I've seen is Colorado-based. And I think it's important that this case gets known nationally because we have information saying that they do move her, and it makes sense that they move her because in Colorado, people know her face. People probably know her name. Mom has done several interviews. Brothers have done several interviews. And so it will make sense that they move her to another area where people aren't hearing that case. And making this national will probably really help get more and more tips, especially if she is no longer in the Colorado area. In 2018, there was a Sacramento woman named Rosari Young, and she was actually arrested for extorting families of missing children, Lashea's family being one of them. This woman actually was not even arrested for that originally. She was arrested in an undercover prostitution sting. She had agreed to have sex with an undercover cop, but was arrested. Now, during this arrest, investigators went through her phone and they found text messages between her and two different families of missing children. She threatened to hurt their loved ones if money wasn't paid, and she was demanding $2,000. Now, thanks to KDVR.com, I was able to get thread between Sabrina Jones, which is Lashea's mother, and this Rosario character. I'm going to be referring to Lashea's mom as Miss Jones, and I'm going to be referring to the perpetrator, Rosario, as Young, her last name. The thread is as follows. Young: Lashea is safe and well taken care of. Miss Jones: where is she? Please, I miss my daughter so much. I cry every day. Please, I will die without her. We love her so much. Young: Lashea owed me money. Lashea owed me for losing my, and then that word is blocked out. You gonna pay me back or she gonna work for it. And if she try to run off, she gonna get what she deserve. You get the police involved and you'll never see her again. Miss Jones: what does she owe? Tell us how much she owes, please. Young: she owes over $2,000, but we can work something out to get her back home. I'm tired of her crying, and I must repeat, you get the law enforcement involved, the deal is off. Now, luckily, Miss Jones, she did contact the police, and of course, this was a scammer. It does not seem like she has anything to do with the case. In fact, it was found that Rosari actually found the family's information via a Facebook page that was created specifically to help spread the word of missing people. So she took this page that was created for good, that was made to create awareness and made to help get missing individuals back to their family. And she took that information and she decided to do evil with it. And I think that is one of the lowest of lowest things you can do. Unfortunately, this is not uncommon. You'll actually hear this happen in more stories. In the Lester Jones episode, I spoke of this. He also had people that contacted his family and said that they have information. They have him send money. Now, there's no word on exactly what the police found with this information, if it led to anything else. If Rosari had any type of connections, we don't know. The police and the FBI are still actively involved in Lashea's case, so they have said they cannot comment on this. Rosari was eventually charged with interstate transmission of a threat to injure with the intent to extort and interstate transmission of a threat to injure. She was sentenced to 5 years and 10 months in prison. Now, the latest update we have had in this case was in November of 2020. In November of 2020, the Aurora police were seen searching a home on Lansing Street. Now, this home is actually pretty close to the area Lashea was last captured walking around at night on the night she disappeared on surveillance. And it is actually stated that Lashea knew the individuals that used to live in this home. Now, the police searched this home. They searched the home for about 3 days, and news crews reported that they brought in equipment that can be used to break through concrete. It is stated that the police focused their search mostly in the basement of this home. Now, the reason why this search was not done until 2020 is because the individuals that Lashea knew that lived in this home had moved and another family had moved in. It seems the homeowner had to wait until these people moved out to give the police the green light. So once these people moved out, the police were able to conduct their search. As of yet, the police have made no definite statement about this search or what they may have found. We aren't even 100% sure what tip led them to this home. In a KDVR article, it is said that police have been quoted saying, "Stuff has progress. Some of the resources that we've used that indicated that maybe we need to look closer." Now, reporters did ask straight up, Is Lashea's body in the basement of that home? And an officer told news crews they had not found any evidence to support that. Now, there is one article also on kdvr.com. And again, I'll have all of the articles posted in my blog, so you can go through that blog post and read and click on those articles and read through yourself. But on this KDVR article, it states that Lashea's ex-boyfriend's father is the person who used to live in this home. Now, I want to put a warning with this because this was the only article I found that mentioned this. No other article mentioned that this was the home of the ex-boyfriend's father. No other article mentioned who used to live in that home. And I want to point that out because I think that's a piece of information that is very important that people would jump on. But no other article has mentioned it. And there has been other articles written on Lashea's case since the search. Now, if this is true, though, this is huge, because in the beginning, the ex-boyfriend is exactly who the mother thought Lashea went to go see. In fact, in that Vanished podcast episode, the mother even apologized for being so adamant that her daughter went to see the ex-boyfriend. So if this is true, this is a huge twist that really changes almost everything, especially since most of the reporting on this case focuses around trafficking. And if there's actually evidence that shows that she was in this home at some period in time, and this home does in fact belong to the ex-boyfriend's father, well, unless he's that person that everyone keeps saying he's trafficking her, this takes us on a whole different path. This will take us on a whole different path. During the search of this home, multiple local news stations were there. And in one clip, you see a woman who talked to a news crew, and she talked about how she remembered actually walking by this home in this neighborhood in 2016. And for a while, saying this place had the grimiest of smell, and she couldn't shake it. And she remembered it and remember that area had just weird odor. And now it is said that 5 gallon tubs and some concrete was taken from this home and was immediately put in a police van and taken away. As of yet, we don't know what came of that search. The police have not really updated the public to say if anything big found or any major breaks in the case. But as of now, there's still a lot of hope that Lashea is alive. And tips are still flowing in. The fact remains, Lashea Stein is still missing, and there is a $15,000 reward for information in this case. Her case is actively being pursued by the Aurora Police and the FBI. The police and the FBI have been doing a great job of showing the community that they care about this young woman, that they care about Lashea, and they care about this case. I mean, they've even had officers fly out to California, Arizona, Wyoming, Iowa, in Kansas just to follow up on tips. But unfortunately, while tips seem to be coming in and they actually seem to be pretty consistent, we still have not found Lashea. She is 21 years old as of now. And again, one of her biggest standout features is a quarter-size scar that's on her chest. If you have any information on Lashea's disappearance, that you reach out to the Aurora Police at 303-627-3100. You can also reach out to Crime Stoppers at 720-913-7867 if you want to report information and remain anonymous. Lashea's family is still fighting to figure out where she is. The police and the FBI are working diligently on this case. And this is one of the cases that's a really good example of good law enforcement work. Though initially they did say they thought this was a runaway case, they redeemed themselves and they've been working very hard ever since. We're hoping that Lashea will be returned to her family and she'll be able to heal from whatever it is she endured. But this may be something that will never happen if we aren't continuously spreading the word and if those in the know don't come forward. And that's all the information I have on Lashea Stein and her case. Again, I'll have a blog posted where you can read pretty much the same thing I just said. But in the blog, I have all the articles and videos I have pulled source information from, and you can go through and click on that. There's actually a live broadcasting of the police searching that home. I also posted the video of her on surveillance, at least the parts of it that we are able to see. I will also post that on Instagram. It's a very short video. You just pretty much see her walk along the street. On the other side of the street, eventually a car pulls up and you see her crossing the street, but that's when the video clip ends, at least for the public. We're not sure if she ever gets in that car or she just crosses the street and continue walking. We don't really know as it stops pretty abruptly, but all of that will be posted and you can look at that on the blog page and you can see pictures of her, what she looks like on my Instagram page, the blog line at theoverlookpodcast.com. And the same can be said for my Instagram page. It's The Overlook Podcast, and podcast ends with two T's. All right, guys, this is Rez wrapping up for this week. As always, be safe, be vigilant, and I'll have a new episode for you next Sunday.